I invite you to just join me as I pray. It's a big deal. This is a time where my heart isn't to speak at you. It is to be faithful to what the Lord's put on my heart and trust that He is going to speak to your heart exactly where He needs to speak to your heart. And so let's just quiet ourselves before the Lord, shall we? Thank you, Lord. Father, I just declare right now that you are a good, good father, that you give good gifts to your children. And not only have you given us good gifts, but you have given us your presence. Well, that's a good gift. And Father, as you presence yourself with us, you want to speak to us, Lord Jesus. It's your desire to have our hearts, to have them in their entirety, Lord Jesus, and I pray this morning that we would give you full access to every area of our lives. We would give you full access to speak, to have authority here this morning, to continued authority, Lord, and that you would bless this word, Lord Jesus. Father, would you guard my lips, Lord, may I speak your words, and may you receive all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Well, it's wonderful to be here with you all today, this morning. Once again, I don't speak very often throughout the year. It's increasing, Lord willing, but I consider it a pleasure and a privilege and a challenge, which is all good. We're all called to this or to that, and which we'll get into further on. But today I would like to talk to you about walking in His presence or walk in His presence. I'd like to speak out of Exodus 33, verse 15 this morning, which is a popular verse. You may be able to quote it off my heart. But why don't we read together? I'm going to be reading in Exodus 33, starting at verse 12 to the end of this section as our portion of Scripture this morning. So if you want to turn with me, you're welcome to. If you want to just listen, that's good as well. It's Moses' intercession. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us, so that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight. I know you by name," Moses said. "Please show me your glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy on whom I show mercy. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock. I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Amen. This intercession comes, as we know, right after the Israelites have entered into idolatry and making the golden calf at the base of Mount Sinai, as they've waited for Moses to come back and have been without him, without his presence for some time, for days. And I find myself this morning joining Moses in this plea of, "Lord God, if you don't go with me, Father, please don't send me." It's on my heart this morning, not for just myself. It's on my heart for Calvary Chapel. And we've been already hearing about God's presence in through sharing and through the worship. So I believe God is speaking. And it's my heart this morning to challenge us, to encourage us as a body, not as a result of your sin as Calvary Chapel or as individuals, but strictly I'm trusting from the Lord that he would encourage us to be in his presence and desire his presence, forsaking everything else that we could bring with us, that we could take with us. This would be a cry, a heart cry of Calvary Chapel, that we could echo these words saying, Lord, if you don't go with us, don't send us. Don't get us to build a new auditorium. Don't get us to buy 36 McKenzie. Don't get us to do you fill in the blank. That's my heart this morning. So we find Moses here pleading on behalf of the Israelites as they've worshipped this golden calf. And I'm struck by the fact of, you know, this is kind of this climactic part in the story, one of the climactic parts in the story. And, you know, sometimes movies start with this climax and then they pause and they go, 3 months earlier, right? They give you, this is what's happening, and they go, okay, let's start back at the beginning. So I just wanted to take a walk back there. It's a very popular story, and I know you guys know most of the stuff that's all come through, but why don't we just go back as a way of setting us up for what I feel God wants to speak to us this morning. We have Moses here who is called by God. This is a man that began to know the presence of God, didn't he? I mean, he was called in and through by the Lord in and through a burning bush. I mean, how miraculous is that? I mean, how many of you here have things you're praying about? Wouldn't it be awesome this spring as you're going out and you're clipping your hedges, trimming the hedges, and all of a sudden your perennial just lights on fire and the voice of the Lord just comes out and says, hey, that thing you've been praying about, you should do it or you shouldn't do it. I mean, this to me is amazing, that Moses will get to hear from the Lord through this burning bush. And then he goes on from there, and God calls him to lead the Israelites out of captivity. And he goes with them in it, doesn't he? Gives them this staff. He gets to throw it down, and it turns into a snake. You know, to convince the Israelites that he has heard from the Lord. He gets to put his hand in his clothes and take it out, and it's leprous. And then he puts it back in, and he takes it out, and it's all good. Like, the power of God resting on Moses and going with Moses is amazing, to say the least. And we have Gene, you know, I mean, then we have the 10 plagues, and those were amazing in themselves. God frees the Israelites from captivity, and he brings them up to the Red Sea, as Gene pointed out and spoke to us already. Like, what would that be like to be standing before this thing which you feel in your heart is insurmountable? Like, pick a situation where you felt like, I can't go any further. Lord, why have you brought me here? What are you doing? And then for it to part. A sea. I used to live in Vancouver, you know, like wanting to go to Vancouver Island. That would have been like stand there and watch this sea split, you know, so I can walk or drive to my mom's house and not have to get seasick on the ferry every time. That would have been marvelous. But just picture this whole nation walking through this ocean and then watching a whole army get destroyed as they go through it. Walking a little further, the Israelites start to grumble. They're thirsty. So God tells Moses, why don't you just hit that rock with your staff? Out comes water. I could have used that a few times in the marathon last year just to hit those stones on the pavement and have water come out. I mean, this is miraculous, isn't it? And they go a little further, and now they're thirsty, they're hungry again, and God says, okay, here's some manna. Like, dew every day. In the evening, quail. I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. Miraculous provision. In the midst of trials, it would have been hard. It would have been tiring. But God is not just sort of there, is he? He is actually there in very tangible ways, very miraculous ways. And they get to the base of Mount Sinai, and Moses goes up, and God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, and he starts teaching about laws and altars and slaves and restitution, Sabbath, festivals, starts speaking to him. And it doesn't take very long, does it, for the Israelites to go, why did you bring us here? What are we doing here? We want to go back. They actually want to go back to slavery. Why did you take us out here? And so it's in this place that Moses cries out, okay, this is crazy. Like, Lord, if you're not with us, don't send us out here. And he makes this, and Moses recognizes and states this needs for God's presence as he sees the Israelites so quickly return. are so quickly turned to idolatry. And so in and through this, I want to speak, I want to start, and I'm going to give us 3 points this morning. That's kind of just what I do. But not just kind of what I do, actually. I feel God has spoken to me 3 things to encourage us with as a body today. And I want to start right here with number one. Is that we need God's presence every day. We need God's presence every day. And I know that sounds kind of redundant. I mean, that's kind of obvious. It's nothing new to us. But I just felt like when I went through this, I studied this and asked the Lord, what are you saying to us? Is like, I felt like I could just relate to the Israelites, unfortunately, just so easily when it came to turning my back on God so quickly. And God has provided. You sit down with me. I could tell you times when the Lord has miraculously provided for Michelle and I over and over again. And how quickly am I like the Israelites, take my affections, take my desires and my passion that's been given to me by God and put them on things of the flesh and things of the earth. So I came up with some pictures. I felt God gave me some pictures from the internet that just kind of hopefully will illustrate me. This is me. If you can relate to him, then so be it. I'll let the Lord decide to speak to you. But this is just for me. Okay, so what's the first? Can we have the first one here? Yeah, there we go. This is apparently a Beatles concert. It was before my time, I believe. But I felt like, you know, one of the things I love to elevate is the Vancouver Canucks. And I found like, man, this is me when it comes to my idolatry of the Vancouver Canucks. Take, for example, this lady right here. Like, this is generally me when it comes to them. A lot of sorrow. A lot of heartache. I've been to a couple games, so I feel like I can relate with these ladies here. Hey, do you see me? Do you care? Oh, I got a picture of you. No, they don't. In the playoffs, it takes 4 wins to win any kind of series in advance. And this lady here is holding her 3 fingers. Yeah, only 3. Only 3. You know, game 7, 2011. Yeah, this lady, you know, I've had times of really, like, jubilation, like that lady there. And then I have a lot of times like this. Where I just like she's looking at the Beatles, and I don't understand. Well, that's just me, you know. Like, I just get in this daze, you know. Like the world just kind of. Bring up the next one. This unfortunately is me. This is a lineup. All these people. I mean, they go. It's hard to see way back there, but this is a lineup to get when the iPhone 6 was first introduced and about to be released, right? And so. iPhone 6. I mean, I'm in this lineup somewhere. Like, I'm somewhere. But that's just me. And there's this word on my heart and it's affections. Maybe you've heard it when I've been praying through praise and worship. But just, Lord, would you have my affections? Would you have my desires? Would you have this heart that you've put in me that cares and loves, that was created to love and give affection and glory to the Father? And it so easily relates to the Israelites as they took those affections and so quickly in the midst of God's miraculous provision, they turn to idolatry. So this is me. What's the next one? Just real quick, NASCAR. This one's really interesting. Like 200,000 people go to see the NASCAR, like the Daytona 500. That's crazy. Like you think the Super Bowl is big. 200,000 people watching a car turn left, 500 laps, right? And don't we like take laser pointers for cats and we go in circles and we laugh at them as they just turn around? I was like, wow, that's a little bit like me. And what's the next one? I don't know how this one got in there, but it's amazing. Some parents actually take their idolatry and they pass it on to their children. You know, that's Owen on the right hand side there. He was pretty excited that I'd show you this picture. You can see Taylor, she's flexing her muscles, and then Aaron, that little cutie with the little curly fro there on the left. But already and blazing them with his heart, you know, this is what you should wear on your sleeve, you know. Like, you wear that Canuck crest because you need to learn about trials. That's what you need to learn about. You can turn it away. I love my kids. But it just blows me away, you know. Like, we've gone through it, just how the Lord was with the Israelites so tangibly, so amazing. Within the short period of time, they managed to break the first 2 commandments, like that. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall carve no other images. Like 2 of them, Boom! And it says they sacrificed to them. Burnt offerings and brought it peace offerings. That's exactly what they did to the Lord just prior after receiving the Ten Commandments and honoring his covenant. Now they do it to this golden calf, which they fashion out of gold, out of their own stuff. They put together their own stuff. And then Aaron even gets in the act. And I unfortunately, I found this, I could relate to Aaron, and I'd actually never noticed this before, but Aaron, you know, Moses comes down, and he says, Aaron, he's like, what just went on here? Like, what is going on? Like, what happened? Aaron's like, well, they wanted a god, and I got their gold, and I just threw it in the fire, and that's what came out. I was like, what? He's straight up lies. Like, straight up lies. Because in 32, verse 4, it says they fashioned it with a tool. They fashioned. And it just brought my mind back to Farmville, this application for your iPhone. You know, have you ever played Farmville? Now it's heyday, because it always changes, right? They have to give a new game. And Farmville, you get to pretend you're a farmer, and you get to plant crops. Certain crops take longer to grow. And you have to harvest them when they come due. So some crops take 2 hours, some take 4. And I had planted a strawberry crop once when I was playing this game. And Michelle calls me from the basement. And I come upstairs, and she's like, Greg. She's like, why is your alarm going off in the bedroom? And I was like, what? I must have put PM instead of AM. And I straight up lied to my wife about my idolatry to my strawberry crops. And this game of Farmville. That's sad. I should be crying right now. But can you see what I'm saying? It's so easy. The world wants our affections. The world wants our desires. I'm not saying the Beatles are bad. I'm not saying watching sports is bad. Is this? But the world is longing for affections, right in the midst of God's provision, in the midst of God's desire to be moving in our lives and do crazy things for our lives. The world goes, no, this is what brings you hope. This is what brings you joy. This is what you should serve. So church, can I just implore us, just encourage us? Man, we need the Lord every day. In the New Testament, right? We the Bible has this theme, right? Like, well, first of all, the Israelites, how good was the manna good for? How long was it good for? One day. And then they took enough for one day. Enough meat for one day. If you took any more, it's spoiled. It got maggoted and rotten. God's saying, listen, live today. Seek me today in my provision. Walk in my presence today. His mercies are new every day, every morning. In our house, they're called mercy muffins. I don't know how that happens, but they're mercy muffins. Maybe it started with an M. Muffin starts with an M, mercy starts with an M. But then I thought, no, actually, that's not true, because mushrooms starts with an M, and I would never say mercy mushrooms. So We'll just say it's the Lord. Anyways, but there's this theme where, you know, even Paul says, keep on being filled. Keep on being filled every day. Because there's just so much that's after us, after our affections, after our desires, after our lives. So church, join with me in asking the Lord to help you seek him every day. And it can look real practically, like you just get up in the morning and it's like pressing reset. Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh, Lord, I love you. Father, I just pray the prayer with Moses. Father, don't send me out of this bedroom today without your presence. Lord, don't help me be a mom, a dad, an employee today without your presence. I love you. I need you. I recognize I need you. There's so many things after my affections, Lord. I need you. Man, if the Israelites can turn their back on your visible, crazy miracles, man, I so can. Point number two. Felt the Lord impress upon me the fact that we need his presence over our own presence. We need His presence over our own presence. And by that I mean over our own abilities, our own ability to do whatever we do, which, as a matter of fact, is from the Lord. Everything good that you can possibly do is from the Lord. It's not our own. We didn't create ourselves. We had no part in that process of designing what we would look like, what we'd be good at. The Lord is, I don't know if it's a, it is a blessing. I love numbers. I love numbers. And I've done that for probably since 2001. I've had the privilege of having a job where I get to do numbers all day. And I remember working at Fairway Ford, and I was a business manager there. So I was the guy that you didn't like in the dealership, right? You would go in and you'd talk to the salesman, and you would say, you would barter or deal, and he would say, your vehicle is $20,000. And you'd say, this is it. I'm going to take this to the business manager who's going to proceed to make your payment higher than $20,000, right? I'm the guy that you come in and you don't like. But I embraced it for 5 years. Not begrudgingly sometimes. But anyways, there was this one time where this prominent businessman came in, and he happened to be a friend. He was my friend's dad, and he came in. He didn't have a lot of time, so he had talked to me ahead of time. Listen, you need to have the paperwork ready. You need to have everything up to date. I don't have time to come in here again, so we're going to do this once, and we're going to do it right, and then I'm going to leave. I'm going to give you the money, and that's good. Can you do that? Yes, I can do that. So he comes in, and I get him to sign everything. He's all good. He's like, this is the last time I'm seeing you, right? Like, I'm going to leave now with my vehicle and not come back here. And I said, yes, sir, you're dealing with Greg Friesen. Don't ever promote yourself like that. Just a word. About 2 days later, I had the privilege of inviting him back into the dealership because I forgot his identification. So he got to come back in, begrudgingly come back in, and I got to repent to him, and actually was a really great opportunity to get low before the Lord and just really confess to him how, unfortunately, he had to be one of the tools the Lord used to humble me and destroy my pride. When I look at Moses and what the Lord was doing through him, how he called him, how he was using him, the instruments he put in his hand to lead the Israelites out of captivity, walking through seas, hitting rocks, being a provider through the power of God. Man, if anybody got to this place where they felt they could do it, I thought it would be Moses. But Moses' response is exactly the opposite. Whereas you would think, you go, okay, well, we're going to leave Mount Sinai, continue to the promised land. You would think, man, he had this ability to, oh yeah, I got this. You know, I'll just do, I can handle this. His response is totally opposite. It's like, no, Lord. You're going to send an angel with me? No. You're going to tell me I'm going to defeat all the armies that end in ites? No. You promised that we're going to get to the land flowing with milk and honey? No, it's not good enough. No, God, if you're not with me, please don't send me. Please don't send me. And there's this real humility of, Lord, I need your presence more than I need my own ability, more than the gifts that you've put into my hands, more than any anointing I think you've anointed with me with. I need your presence to go with me. And that's one of the things we get the opportunity to practice on the praise and worship team. Sometimes we have Thursday practices, generally. And some days we have these really smoking good practices where it was like the music was awesome and we're like, woohoo! Those actually scare us now. We're like, oh no, practice was too good. Why? Because come Sunday morning, there's this opportunity for us to go, let's do what we did on Thursday. Yeah, we got this, man. We're tight. We can tear this up. Now it's like a better posture is Michelle will go, hey, how was practice when I get home? It was horrible, but really good. What do you mean? Well, it was so bad that we need the Lord to move in and through us on Sunday morning to make anything sound half decent. And it's just this heart attitude of setting us up for the Lord to use us powerfully. When we say, Lord, you know, you gave me the guitar. You gave me the ability to play it. But you know what? I don't want to play it if you're not with me. If you're not going to move in and through it, I don't even want to play it. Yeah, but I gave it to you. I understand. Yeah, I'm going to send my angel with you. Yeah, I understand. No, don't send us. if you're not with us, because it's in Him and through Him. Practically speaking, Jesus teaches us a method to help us with this. I feel when He's teaching the disciples how to pray, they ask Him, "Hey, how should we pray? Lord, teach us how to pray." What does He teach them, right? He says, okay, you start off by acknowledging the Father in heaven. O Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy, hallowed are you, Lord. What's the next thing? Your kingdom come, your will be done. In other words, Lord, you come. However you would do it in heaven, you come and you do it in and through me today. Not my own, not my own strength, not my own flesh. Lord, as it is in heaven, you come down and do that through me today. And that's how Jesus teaches us how to pray. It's how we should pray every morning. Lord, not me. No. You come down as you would do it in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Me provide our daily bread? No. Lord, you give us this day our daily bread. Would you be our provider, whether it's physically and food and financially and emotionally, and how we treat other people and how we declare the glory of God by responding to one another? No, Lord, you come, not me. The gifts you gave me, thank you for them. I praise you for them. But you need to inhabit them. You need to go before me. Church, we need His presence more than we need our own ability, more than our own self. We need God to go with us. It's my prayer. It's my burden for us as a body. It'd be why we sing, how we lead worship, how we preach, how we do our community groups, how we do our youth ministry and our children ministry is, oh Lord, it would be this plea, like Moses plea, oh Lord, would you be in our youth group? Would you be in our children's ministry? Would you be in our community groups? Would you grow the church how you want to grow the church? You want to keep us in this awkward, sound, horrible building, then do it. Don't move us out of here if you're not going out of here. We'll put up with loud drums and poles in the middle of everywhere. Don't do a thing unless you go before us. Unless you make it happen. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Church, oh man, we need His presence. Every day, and more than our own selves. Thirdly, we need His presence over our own comfort. When Moses pleads with the Lord to come with him, part of me is actually kind of shocked. Like, I think, like, wouldn't it have been a little bit easier to just go with the angel and go with the promise of defeating the armies? Like, God is, it says in chapter 32, like, His anger is burning hot against the Israelites. Like, He wants to annihilate them all and destroy them. But Moses intercedes, says, hey, whoa, no. Like, work with me here. And only 3,000 die instead of them all. Like, wouldn't it have been easier to just go with the angel? Friends, I feel like the Lord just impressed upon me that we need God's presence more than we need to be comfortable here at Calvary Chapel, or we need to be comfortable in our own lives. When God calls us to do crazy things, it's good to have the boss there. You know, like, have you ever worked at a place where it was just like, you just felt a little more relaxed when the boss wasn't around? You know?
No.
I did once, working at Fairway. I knew the boss wouldn't be there, so I brought my Aerobee. I don't know if you've... Aerobee is this frisbee. That's the record distance for throwing it is 3 football fields. Like, it goes really far. And so I got one of these, so I thought I should show the friends. And so we go to work, and I'm throwing this in the parking lot with all these brand new cars around. And as I'm catching this, a car pulls up beside me, and the window goes down, and it's my boss. And he says, "Hey, what are you doing?" Oh, church, I really don't know how to preach this part very well. There's this thing in my heart that wants us to say yes to God when He calls us to do brave things, to do crazy things. I mean, Moses and where he's at and seeing, man, we didn't have water, we didn't have food, and now they're sinning. It would have been so easy to join with the Israelites and saying, "I want to go back. We want to go back. Send us back. Why have you brought us out here?" They said that multiple times. It's like, "Let's go back. This is too hard." And Moses' response was different. "No, God, you come with us. We want you here." The God who's jealous for His glory, jealous for His worship and his worship of Himself and His purpose and His plans. "You come with us and take us through this desert. There is a plan and a purpose you have for us." Church, and we need His presence more than our comfort. One of the ways this works out, I see it playing out, is that I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but there's times when my heart's pounding and God wants me. And that's not necessarily a sign. I'm not saying that's, if your heart pounds, then God wants you to say something. Well, maybe you just exercised and your heart's beating too much. But it's, you know those times when you're sitting here and you go, "Oh, I think God wants me to share this scripture," and you don't come up here? It's uncomfortable, isn't it, to come up here and to share what God's speaking. We need God's presence. We need Him more than we need our comfort of staying in our chairs. That's what I'm saying. There's some of you sitting here that got an email from me about maybe being a community group leader for 6 weeks or maybe all. We need God's presence. You need God's presence more than you need to be comfortable saying no to leading a community group. More than saying no to anything that the Lord may want you to do. We need God's presence more than our comfort. And we want to stay in these places because it feels so cozy. But when I get cozy, I turn to other things. That's just my natural, that's just what happens to Greg. I don't know what happens to you. I am hungry for God's presence here at Calvary. And I know that it isn't only going to come through me, or through Rob, or for Corinne leading worship, or for whoever else is a leader here. There could be some of you sitting here today, and I could be wrong, but I know that the presence of God wants to come here. The Lord wants to meet us here at Calvary and do crazy, radical, amazing things, and it could be through you. And we need that more than we need you to be comfortable. And that's what gives me courage to even say this to you. "Well, what if they don't like you, Greg?" I don't care if this is the Lord's word to you. You can come talk to me later, and I'll still tell you, be uncomfortable for the Lord. Hunger and thirst for His presence. Oh. Wide is the road that leads to destruction. Easy. Peasy. Japanesey. Narrow is the road. Church, I would even say, you're not called to an easy road, right? When Jesus' words, "In this world you will have trouble, but I give you my peace. I give you my peace." The Lord is with you. So how does that play? Maybe it plays out in your finances. Set yourself up to need the Lord. Just set Him up. Our accountant is talking to her. Wonderful conversation about tithing. She says, "You know what? Or offerings. Tithes and offerings. You know, in our family, to give financially, it has to cost us something. It has to feel uncomfortable. That's what we've decided. How would it look if the Lord was calling you to be courageous in your finances? How would it look if physically He was calling you to be courageous? Have you felt that call to missions? What about adoption or fostering or giving your time in mentoring? The stuff you have to lay down, be courageous. I don't know if I have anything to say to that person. Well, then it's a great opportunity to trust the Lord. You need His presence more than your comfort. Say yes. What about spiritually? Preaching, leading a community group, leading worship, on and on. This is a shameless plug for community group leaders, isn't it? Be brave, church. We're praying for more groups next year. I encourage you, church, be brave. Be brave. This isn't condemnation. I just want to encourage you. I just want to encourage you, man. I've seen the Lord provide. This week, every day, I needed the Lord. I was preaching on this, so He set it up. Every day, I needed the Lord to show up. Like, literally, needed the Lord. Like I haven't had a week like this week in a long time. And I won't get into the details. But I just want to land the plane just with the encouragement of, you know what? You get to go up the mountain, church. You get to go up the mountain. God the Father sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who walked a perfect and blameless life on this planet, died a heinous death while you were still sinners, said, I love you, I'm going to hang on this cross, and as I die, as I breathe my last breath, that veil is going to get torn from top to bottom. And through my death, you're going to have communion and victory in me, Christ Jesus. And His presence now isn't just with you, it's in you. It's in you. You get to go up the mountain. You inhabit the presence of the Father. Is that not amazing? What if we got up in the morning and we're like, greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Like every day. Right? Like we need Him every day. We need Him more than ourselves. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Are you serious? Jesus even said, you're going to do greater things than even I did. That's in me. I mean, Jesus' words to the disciples were, don't go out until the Helper comes. Don't you go out. And I would say that to the rest of you. Don't go out. Don't go out with the presence of God. Don't accept being a father. Don't accept being a mother. Don't accept being an employee of any job that you have. Don't accept going to school. Don't accept being a friend, a community group leader, a worship leader, a factory worker. Don't do it without the presence of God. Just don't do it. Just say, no, Lord, I need you. You're in me. I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm going to walk in your power. I'm going to say, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Nothing else is satisfactory. Rob said it last year, May, he preached a message about seeking his presence. And it's stuck with me now. It should feel awkward to do things without his presence. It shouldn't feel right. You were designed to inhabit the King of Kings. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, you're like a teacup. What's a teacup designed to hold? Tea. If you put diesel in it, is there room for tea? If you put oil in it, is there room for tea? If you put anything else other than tea, is there room for tea? No. You were designed to be filled with the Holy Spirit and carry His presence into everything you do. Everything you do. Church, may we walk in that power. May we settle for nothing less. May we forsake the world because of it. May we forsake our own selves because of it. May we forsake our own comfort because of it. You are nothing else, Lord. Father, I thank you that your presence is with us. Your presence is in us, Lord. Father, would you stir in our hearts a relationship with you, God, where we're drawn into prayer, we're drawn into fellowship with you, we're drawn into needing you and loving you more than our flesh, more than the things of this world. God, we love you, Lord Jesus. Only you can do this. Only you can stir this in our hearts and light this fire and this flame. God, would you have your glory in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.